Well, good morning to all of you. We are going to continue looking at some of the parables of Jesus. The parable we're looking at today is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. It is the parable of the persistent widow. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen. We're going to read from Luke, chapter 18. I'm going to begin with verse 1 and read down through verse 8 of Luke, chapter 18. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but he finally said to himself, "I don't fear God, nor do I care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word. And let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together in worship today, and we thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit has moved through our community of faith thus far. And we pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit would continue to move among us. In the next few minutes, Lord, I pray that my words would be your words. And I pray, Lord, that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And God, we ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that the words that you have for us today might be more for us than simply more information. Lord, we are flooded with information on just about every front of our lives. And what we ask from you today, Lord, is that your word would be more for us than information, but indeed that as the scripture promises, we might find your word transforming, that your words might transform us and change us, and work into our hearts that we might leave this place today as people who have been changed and transformed by our encounter with you. Since we cannot accomplish this on our own, we ask for this, not because of who we are, but because of our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit to work among us. And it's in the name of Jesus that we've offered up this prayer today, saying, Amen. I've been thinking quite a bit about this phrase, "So help me God." So help me God. It's a famous phrase. It's a phrase that probably is best known to us because it comes at the very end of the presidential oath of office. And that's where we find it most. When people are taking oaths of office, we find this phrase, "So help me God." But the phrase fascinates me because it says that whatever is going on in our lives, we need God's help to accomplish it. We need God to be with us to accomplish it. We need God's help in whatever it is that we might be trying to do. And I think that it's a perfect phrase. It would go right along with the parable that is before us today, the parable of the persistent widow. You know, it's interesting to me, this passage, how it plays out, because Luke, when he writes this gospel, tells us immediately that Jesus is telling this parable to his disciples so that they would pray and never give up. But as we hear the parable, as we hear about the widow continuing to seek justice from the unjust judge, we begin to wonder who the unjust judge is supposed to represent. Because the judge will not listen to the widow's request. And instead, he says, I care nothing about God. I care nothing about people. But doggone, this woman's driving me nuts. And I'm going to grant her request just because she keeps coming and coming and coming and coming to me. And I'm tired of it. And sometimes I think when we hear this parable, and we think, well, who does the unjust judge represent? Well, we say, that must be God. Because, you know, Jesus' follow-up to the parable is, how much more will God hear the cries of his people for justice? How much more will the just God come and answer the cries that his people are calling to him? So we say, well, gosh, does that mean that when we pray, we need to pester God to death? You know, I understand this story about the widow and the unjust judge because I have children. And I know you have probably experienced this too. It might have been your children, it might have been your grandchildren, it might have been some other child in your life. But here's how this played out in my life. Daddy, 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 what? Of course you can. Just go ask your mother first, right? That's kind of how it plays out, right? And sometimes as a parent, it's been very difficult for all of us. I mean, it is difficult, isn't it? Because sometimes what our children want to do to us is they want to do exactly what the widow did to the unjust judge. They think if they keep coming back, that sooner or later, they're going to wear you down. And I finally, after some years of experimenting with how to parent this type of behavior, I finally found out, and I got this from a friend of mine who would say to his children, I'm sorry you don't like my answer, but it is my answer. And I'm not going to change it just because you don't like it. Well, try that sometime. It was okay. It worked about 50% of the time, but sometimes they kept coming anyway, right? But what we've got to understand, I think, out of this parable is not that we need to pester God to get God to do what we think God needs to do. Indeed, if God is who we believe he is, and God is really bigger, smarter, wiser than we'll ever approach, then just to keep on nagging God about something to try to get God to change his mind, that's not what this parable is about at all. The point that Jesus was trying to make was this. If the unjust judge, who cared nothing about God and nothing about other human beings, if the unjust judge was willing finally to grant justice to the widow because she continued to ask, how much more will the God who created us, the God who loves us, the God who in himself embodies justice, how much more would God not grant us justice? How much more would God not want to give us justice? You see, I think that's the real point of this whole parable. And it's very important for us to understand that perseverance in this life is important. Perseverance in this life is important. Sometimes we tend to approach our prayers, perhaps weekly, in a sense of, okay, God, here's what I want, and if you really want this too, then okay, and if you don't, then I guess that's okay too. And I think one of the things that this parable is trying to teach us, that this parable is trying to teach us about prayer, is that in prayer, as in many other things in life, you should not give up. You should not give up. Our father in faith, the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, had a difficult time early on in his ministry. And I want to share with you a couple of entries from his diary. These are entries from John Wesley's diary. Sunday, May the 7th, I preached at St. Lawrence this morning and afterward at St. Catherine Cree's church. I was enabled to speak strong words at both and was therefore the less surprised at being informed that I was not to preach anymore in either of those churches. Sunday, May the 14th, I preached in the morning at St. Anne's Aldersgate and in the afternoon at the Savoy Chapel, Free Salvation by Faith in the Blood of Christ. I was quickly apprised at that St. Anne's, likewise, I am to preach no more. Friday, May 19th, I preached at St. John's and St. Bennett's in the evening. At these churches, likewise, I am to preach no more. Friday, November the 3rd, I preached at St. Anthony's, Sunday the 5th in the morning at St. Botolph's in Bishopsgate, in the afternoon at Islington, and the evening to such a congregation as I had never seen before at St. Clement's. As this was the first time of my preaching there, they told me that it would probably be the last. Okay? And this is my favorite. I rode once more to Pensford at the earnest request of some serious people. The place where they desired me to preach was a little green spot near the town. But I had no sooner begun than a great company of rabble, hired, as we afterwards found, for that purpose, came furiously upon us, bringing a bull, which they had been baiting, and drove it among the people. But the beast was wiser than his drivers, and continually ran on either one side of the crowd or the other while we quietly sang praise to God and prayed for about an hour. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, after being asked not to come back, and then you're preaching out in the open, not even in a church, and somebody decides to bring a bull out there, might have been time to go back to the grocery business, amen? Just saying. Okay? But then, in his 85th year of life, with a history of many successes, and he continued to persevere, he writes these words near the end of his journal. Saturday, August the 22nd, I crossed over to Red Ruth and at 6 preached to a huge multitude, as usual, from the steps of a market house. The words seemed to sink deep into every heart. I know that I have never spent such a week in Cornwall before. And then the next day on Sunday, August the 23rd, I preached there again in the morning and again in the evening at the amphitheater, I suppose for the last time, because again, he's 85 years old. My voice cannot now command the still increasing multitude. You know, his voice is starting to get weak. Now listen to this. Listen. It was supposed when they counted that there were now more than 5,000 and 20,000 people there. You know? And it's all about perseverance. And it's not just about perseverance in what you're doing. It's even more important, I think, to persevere in prayer. You see, sometimes I think what we want to do is we want to pray because we don't want to spend a whole lot of time in prayer. So we pray and we say, God, take care of this and God, take care of that. God, do this, God, do that. And I've known some people in my life, some people that I have loved, who have argued and said, you know, that's if you're not praying with faith unless you can pray it once and let God have it. But this parable would seem to lead us otherwise. And it reminds me of a story I heard about George Mueller. George Mueller was a famous preacher and evangelist early in the 20th century who was known for being a person of steadfast and persistent prayer. When he became a Christian, his late teens, early 20s, George Mueller had 4 of his good friends who were not followers of Jesus. They were not church people, but they were his 4 good friends. So when he accepted Christ, he started praying every day for those 4 friends. Within a year, 2 of them had accepted Christ and become baptized and decide to follow Jesus. After 12 years, the third one decided, finally, that he would indeed turn his life over to Christ, that he would be baptized and become a follower of Jesus. But George Mueller died after praying for the fourth man for 52 years and not seeing an answer to that prayer in his lifetime. And the week after George Mueller died, the fourth man decided to give his life to Christ, became baptized, and became a follower of Jesus. And that story reminds me that it is important for us to continue to pray even when circumstances seem desperate, even when it seems like the answer to our prayer is not coming forth anytime soon, because I'm going to tell you, the God who resurrected Jesus Christ after the crucifixion gave us an event that ought to give us strength when we pray, because we never know what God might do. We never know what God might do. And I think that one of the things we ought to say to ourselves as we pray and as we continue to pray for people and for situations, and as we continue to persevere in prayer, is we ought to say that phrase that I began this message with, so help me God. So help me God. Because, you know, sometimes what we want to do is we want to pray for something and we want to ask God for it, and then we don't want to do what we need to do about it. Are you with me? I mean, we just want to give it up to God and say, God, you handle this, you take care of this, when there might be things that God needs us to do. So what would it be like if, when you and I prayed, what would it be like if when we prayed, we took this parable to heart and we never gave up? And at the end of every prayer, we said, so help me God. So help me God. Believing that God, unlike the unjust judge, loves us and wants to help us and wants to answer the prayers that we ask. And we have to be careful here, because God doesn't always answer our prayers. At least what we need to say to ourselves is God doesn't always answer our prayers in ways that we see results. But who knows? If you're praying for someone and you continue to pray for that person and you persevere in prayer, you continue to keep them in prayer and you say, so help me God. So help me God. Who knows? You might find out that you're the next George Mueller. You know, that what God wants from us more than anything else is to stay close to Him and continue to lift each other up in prayer. So may we be people who are people of perseverance. We ought to learn that early in life, that the best things that come to us usually come because we're willing to persevere. But of all things, people of God, we should be people who persevere in prayer, who never ever give up, who never ever let go, and to have some faith that as we continue to ask God to help us and to say, so help me God, that God is always listening and that God, in God's good time, will answer our prayers. That's the promise. You see, I don't know if you heard what Jesus said at the end of this parable, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will He find upon the earth who have faith? One of the ways we can exercise our faith is to keep praying, and to pray, as Paul said, without ceasing, and to hold those we love and those around us who are in need of our prayers in such a way that we will not cease to pray for them no matter what. And in those prayers with, so help me God. So help me God. So may God help us to be people who are willing to persevere in our prayers no matter what. Because what we have, the God that we serve, is not like the unjust judge at all, but wants to hear our prayers and wants us to pray without ceasing for each other, for our world, and for our church. May we be those kind of people. So help us, God. Amen.